Today's daf is Erechin Daf Yubet. We're going to start at the top of the page. Ibai Elihu. Nechasim ha-ba'im b'fnei atzman, t'unim shira o ein t'unim shira. We talked yesterday about nesachim, the libations, that people would do without a korban. So there's two possibilities of what this is. It could be without a korban, meaning you did the korban one day, but we've talked about that the nesachim could be brought a number of days later. Or, theoretically, there's a way that you could just say, I want to bring a nesach on my own. If I seem to remember correctly, there was a machloket about whether or not one was allowed to do that. So, do they need shira or do they not need shira if you bring them on their own? Kevan damar Shmuel bar Nachmani amar Rabbi Yonatan minayin she'en olim shira ela layayin. Since he already said, if we saw Shmuel bar Nachmani said the name of Rabbi Yonatan, how do we know that shira is only on wine? Amrinan, o dilma al achila ushtia amrinan, ashtia lechuda lo amrinan. Do we say it's only on eating and drinking? Now, what's eating and drinking? These are words referring to the mizbech. They would pour the wine libations on the mizbech. That's the shtia. And the achila is the burning of the korban on the mizbech. So is it only when there's achila and shtia? But if there's shtia by itself, meaning just nesachim, then no. Or do we also say, right? Do we say that we say it on wine no matter what, or do we say it, or is it only when we do it on achila and shtia? So, Tashma, let's try to learn from here. Rabbi Yossi Omer Magalim Zchut Liyom Zakai. Remember, we saw that yesterday, which is like bad things happen on days where bad things already happened. And then we had a whole thing because they said the Shira on that day. They were saying, Uvratam Yatzvitem Yatzvitem Hashem Lokenu. And then came the enemies and took them into exile. Hi Shira Maya Vidate. So we're now going to have the exact same sugya we had yesterday. So what was this Shira doing there? Ilema de Olat Chova Mihave. If it was the Ola that was obligatory, of course it wasn't that. Because B'Shiva Sarba Tammuz Batela Tamid. Already on the 17th of Tammuz, there was no more Korban Tamid. So it couldn't have been that. The Ela de Olat Nidava. If you want to say maybe it was the Olat Nidava. Vahatane Rav Mary Bered Rav Kana de Lot Tzricha. We already said that it couldn't be that. That was where we ended yesterday's daf. It certainly couldn't be about that. Elalav denisachim. So it must have been, they were saying the song with the wine libations. They must have just been offering wine. So, Amarava v'item Rav Ashi v'tizbara. But now we're going to say, again, it's going to be a mirror image of what we did yesterday, or the exact same thing as what we did yesterday. V'tizbara. How could it be that it was nisachim? Shira de yome, the shira of that day, if you remember we said, what day was it? It was Motzei Shabbat, meaning it was Sunday. The Shir Shal Yom of Sunday is L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umlo'ah. V'yeshav Alehem Et Onam, the rest of that pasuk, that was the pasuk quoted, B'Shira D'Arba'a B'Shabahu. It was the one that they say on the fourth day of the week. Ela Elia Ba'almuhu D'Nafile B'Pumayu. Exactly as we answered yesterday, it was just a pasuk that came into their mouths and they started saying it, but it wasn't the actual Shira that they did in the Beit HaMikdash, in which case this doesn't prove anything. But then they say exactly as they did yesterday, V'ha'um din al duchanam katane. Weren't they standing on the platform exactly where they were supposed to, where they normally do the songs? Kidurish Lakish, Amarish Lakish, Amarish Lakish, Omer Shira shelo ala korban. One could say Shira, not on the korban. So then they say, Yihachi, b'nesachim nami lema. So if you're allowed to say a voluntary Shira whenever you want, so then they could also, theoretically, you could say with the Nesachim, and again, the Gemara answers is yesterday, Nefet Mine Chorva, right? It could actually result in some sort of mistake where they might think if sometimes you say it with the Nesachim and sometimes you don't voluntarily, then maybe also with an animal offering, it's also optional. Right? You could see why one might have thought that singing wasn't necessarily so critical, and therefore we don't want people to come to that mistake. I thought it was interesting that they used the Lashon, Nefet Mine Chorva, when we're talking about the Chorban. It's an interesting reference to it, as opposed to, nafalva ta'ut, or, something like that. Gufa. Now we're going to go into this whole thing about the details of this brighta we saw yesterday. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Megagalim Zchut Liyom Zakai. So what they explained was, in the whole description there about both Beit HaMikdash being destroyed on the same day, it said, Barishona, on the first Beit HaMikdash, B'motzei Shvi'it, right, it was the year after the Shemitah year. Mimish kachala, could it have really been that the destruction was on the year after the first year in a Shemitah cycle? V'haktiv, doesn't it say, in a pasuk in Yechezkel, ב-25 שנה לגלותנו, בראש השנה ב-10 לחודש, ב-14 שנה אחר אשר הוקטה העיר. Okay, let's explain this pasuk. 25 years after the galut, we're going to learn later that it wasn't the galut where the Churban was, it was the galut that happened before that. There was a galut earlier where they started taking some of the Jews to Babel. It was 25 years to that galut. It was on Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th day of the month. That's already a problem. How could it be Rosh Hashanah and be the 10th day of the month? Ba'arba'asar shana achar asher hukta ba'ir. So now we're talking 14 years. So it's 25 years to the first galut, 14 years after the second galut, meaning after the Churban Habayit, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And it happened on Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month. So the first question they're starting with is, how could Rosh Hashanah be on the 10th of the month? It must have been in the Yovel year, because on the Yovel year, on the 10th of the month, they blow the shofar, and there's a lot of comparisons between Yom Kippur of the Shnat HaYovel to Rosh Hashanah. So the only time we call Rosh Hashanah, the 10th of the month Rosh Hashanah, would be in the Yovel year. So it must have been a Yovel year. Okay, now, remember, what did we say? The first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the year after the Shemitah year. Now let's do the calculation. If you say it happened on the first year of the Shemitah cycle, Shavua is another reference to Shemitah cycle. Okay, even though we usually think of a Shavua as a week, it's also a week of, you know, a seven-year cycle of Shemitah years. So if you say it was the first, it was destroyed on the first, Mecha b'Shavua l'cha b'Shavua t'mane. So now count. Right, one group of seven is eight. In other words, now we're going to do this whole count where we count the first year and the last year, because the Churban happened on the first year after the Shemitah cycle. So now go ahead 7 years. That becomes the eighth year. The Lecha b'Shavua achrine 15 havyan. In other words, what we're going to say is, if it happened 14 years after the Churban, if you want to get to the first year of a Shemitah cycle, right, you're going to go back two Shemitah cycles, you're going to have to be 15 years away. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that it was 14 years after the Churban. It would have to be 15 years after the Churban if you're going to say that that happened. It was a Yovel year. A Yovel year has to be after the end of a Shemitah cycle. So to get from the Churban to 14 years later, and that 14th year will be, if the Churban was the first year after the Shemitah cycle, then, right, the first year of a Shemitah cycle, it would be 15 years till we got to the end of another, right, two more Shemitah cycles, which would then bring us the year after, that would be the Yovel. That would be 15, not 14. So, Amar Avina, Barbasle Shana Achar Hashana Shukta Ha'ir. He says, oh, when it says 14 years after, it means 14 years after the year, it's not counting the year that it happened in. So then they say, So then, if you're going to say that it's not really 14, it's really 15, then the same thing, the 25 isn't really going to be 25, it should be 26. Why? Because let's read on. It should be, remember, there were two numbers given here. It was 14 years after the first Churban, which was 25 after the previous Churban. Now, why should it be 26? Damamar, galu b'sheva, galu b'shmona. The following statement was said. They were Goleh, now we're talking about the first Galut. In the seventh year, now the understanding here, and we're going to see there's different ways of understanding this, but right now they're going to understand, which becomes also the ultimate way they understand this. They went to Galut in the seventh year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which was the eighth year of, let me explain. Galut b'sheva, Galut b'shmone, 7 years into Yehoiakim's rule, and it was, which was 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's rule, because Jehoiakim started ruling a year after Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? So, Jehoiakim's rule happened in, there was a galut 7 years into Jehoiakim's rule, and 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's. And galut b'shmonasre, galut b'chasre. That was the first galut, and the second galut was 18 years to Jehoiakim and 19 years from Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So now, what does this mean? It means that, let's put it this way, if the two Galiot happen with a difference of 11 years, 7 to 18, or 8 to 19. So Mishev va'ad timnesre chadsre. Right, from 7 to 18 is 11. Chameshesre v'esrim v'shitavya. So, and now, add to it another 15 that we just said, that Ravina just explained. It was really 15 years after the Chorban, because the year of the Chorban doesn't count. So you get to 26. Again, what did Yechezkel say? Let's just go back and review. Our issue is that Yechezkel said, we started with the Braita. The Braita said that the Chorban happened the year, it was on the first year of the Shemitah cycle. It was Motzei Shvi'i, meaning it was after the Shemitah happened. But Yechezkel said that 25 years after the first Galut and 14 years after the next Galut was a Yovel year, which again is the same as saying Motzei Shvi'it, which means that those things had to have been, right? Really, it had to be 15 years after the Chorban. Otherwise, it wouldn't end up being Motzei Shvi'it. It would be on the Shemitah year. Because again, the Galut happened. Okay, the Shanshin actually has good charts for this. The Galut happened. We say the Chorban was on year 36 of the Shemitah cycle, right? Because it was 1 year, right? 35 would be Shemitah. It would be 36 would be the year. And the Galut, right? The when Yechezkel starts test this whatever this Nevuah was that he says, happened in the Yovel year, which is actually 15 years from the Chorban and not 14. So how do we explain the 14? We say, oh, it was the year after. It's 14 means from the year after that. But then they say, if you want to say that 14 really means 15, now we have a problem because we know that there's 11 years from the first Galut to the second, which means take 11, the first Galut, there's 11 years till we get to the second Galut. Take 15 now from the second Galut, and what do we get to? 26. Now, which means, what did we say? It was 25 years from the first Galut. So now we again have a problem. Now, why they don't answer? Well, it's the same thing. It just means from the year after. I don't know why they don't exactly say that, but let's just leave it at as a question. So now, Amar Lecha Ravina. So Ravina says as a response, because remember, Ravina was the one who said, oh, it really, 14 really means 15. It really just means start from the following year, right? Start the count later. This is all like a good exercise in how do you count? I know I've gotten to this argument with people. Sometimes you count both the year, the first and the last thing. Some people don't count where you're in. They say starting from, right? There's a whole, this is one of those issues about how exactly you count. So Amar Lecha Ravina, L'didach Minicha. So now Ravina could answer, but yours doesn't make any sense either. Why? Now he's going to go back to this thing about the 7 and the 8 and the 18 and the 19. Okay, which didn't make so much sense. We explained it one way, but now, according to the Gemara now, theoretically, what it could be saying is the Galut was both in the 7th and the 8th and also in the 9th and the 18th and the 19th. So, Michte Galunami B'Chaesre, Misheva Tishsere Tartesre. Since you say the Galut happened, and before we said 7 to 18, 11 years, and 8 to 19, 11 years. But now they say, no, it also said it was 7, and it also said it was 19. So if we take the 7 and the 19 together, assuming we don't explain the way I explain, but maybe you could explain that it's all that it's describing four Galuyot somehow, like 7, 8, 18 and 19, in which case they're going to say we now have 12. If you take between 7 and 19, well, the difference is Tartesre, that's 12. So Mishev Va'ad Tishsere, from 7 to 19, it's Tartesre. Okay, so once you say there were already also Golan in the 19th year, so now we have 12. Varbasre, and if you add that to the 14 that we talked about before, how many do you end up with? Right, the 14 years, in other words, you take the first 12 from the first Galut to the second Galut, then the 14 to get to Yechezkel, we also end up with Esrim Vishitavian, 26. So there's obviously some issue here. So Ela Mai Lach Lameimar, Ravina says, right, that doesn't, your thing doesn't make sense either, according to the 7 and the 19. So what can you say? Levar Mishata de Galuba. Ledidinami Levar Mishata de Galuba. If you, your number also comes out to 26, in which case, let's just say, take out the year of the Galut, and it means 25 from the next year. So I could do the same thing, and I could take out that year, and then I don't have an issue. Okay? So now they say, But mikomakom tishsere l'Ravina kasha. But still, that 19-year doesn't make sense according to Ravina. So now they explain exactly as I explained before. Misavart shalosh galuyot havi. They're actually ignoring the fourth. Because remember, there was 7, 8, 18, and 19. So really, they're going to say what? But there are four galuyot, but they only say three because the real numbers we're dealing with now is the 7, 18, and 19. We're ignoring the 8 right now. So what do they answer? Galu b'sheva l'kibush Yehoyakim, shishmona l'ruchad netzer. Exactly as I explained originally, which is it was 7 to the kibush of Yehoyakim, which was 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Galu b'shmona asre l'kibush Yehoyakim, and then they, again, it was 18, the second Korban was 18 years l'kibush Yehoyakim, which was shehit shasre l'Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, now, how can we know that we can explain this way? Because there's a source that says it. Damar mar, as somebody says, Shana Rishona Kibesh Ninveh, Shnia Alava Kibesh Yehoyakim. Okay, so in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he conquered Ninveh, and in the second year of its reign, he conquered Yehoyakim. I guess it's not from Yehoyakim's reign, I guess it's from when Yehoyakim was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Now we're going to go back to the Braita. So we established that one could explain that the first Korban happened, Motzei Shvi'it, and actually does work out with Yechezkel's count, as we said, because Yechezkel's count just means 14 years, not including the year of the Korban, in which case, exactly 14 years later, you'll also be Motzei Shvi'it. Now they say, V'chein Bashnia. Likewise, the second Beit HaMikdash was also destroyed, and then again, it was all down. It's interesting, when we said V'chein Bashnia, okay, there's one way of explaining it, which the Gemara is going to actually suggest later, which is actually a simple way of explaining it, that not everything was the same on the second destruction. It was just that it also happened on Tisha B'Av. Okay? But they're going to assume right now that all the details were the same. It was also Motzei Shvi'id. It was also on Motzei Shabbat. It was also, okay? So now they say, V'chein b'shnia, u'shnia b'motzei Shvi'id. Can you really, was it true that the second Beit, okay, so we resolved the first, but now is the second Beit HaMikdash Motzei Shvi'it? Now, what kind of count do we have for this? How long did the second temple stand? 420 years. So now, let's take 400 years have 8 yovlim, okay, because 400 divided by 50 is 8, 8 yovlim. Arba'asrei, okay, now we have 420, so 400 divides into 8 yovlim. Arba'asrei, the extra 14 out of the 20, is another 2 Shemitah cycles. Trei Shvuei, right, that's 2 cycles. Pasha lehu shit, we're left with 6. Havilei b'shita b'shavua. So now, what does it come out to? It comes out to the 6th year of the Shemitah year. Okay, the assumption is they didn't have Shemitahs when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and it starts again, the count, with the Chorban Bayit, okay? When we count toward the Yovel, with the return to the Beit HaMikdash. But you'd have to assume that the Gemara is obviously assuming that the count started from scratch when they came back to the Beit HaMikdash, okay? So now you end up that the Chorban happened, right? This is a very easy count, right? It's 420 divisible by 50 divisible by 7, right? The 20 divided by 7, you're left with a remainder, right? It doesn't mean, right? It can't possibly happen, but Motzei Shvi'it. So what do they answer? Now this gets, right? They want to throw in something that messes everything up the way we thought. Hamane, who's this source according to? Rabbi Yehuda. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda had a unique shita. What did he say? Damar shnat chamishim ole lekan ulekan. What would you have assumed? We count 49 years. You get to the 50th year. The 50th year is Yovel. Then, when's your first year of the new Shemitah cycle? After the Yovel year. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel year was both the Yovel year, the 50th year to the first count, and also was the first year of the new Shemitah cycle. So you actually did 49, 49, 49, 49, 49. Every time there was a 50, the 50 was equal to the 1. Okay? The 50 was also the first year. So now, how does it work according to him? Why, it works perfectly. Because why? Okay, let's say we had 40 times 5 equals, 40 times 8, sorry, 8 yovelim times 50 equals 400. But now it's actually going to be minus for each yovel, take away a year. Because every time there was an overlap. So, How would you have it? I take Timnaya mitimnaya yovle. Get rid of eight from eight yovlim. And now, again, what do we have? There were, out of those 20 extra years, there were six left that weren't divisible by seven, right? So take the six extra there and the eight extra years that you have from that count. How many do you end up with? 14. That's perfect. Because now that's another two Shemitah cycles, and then was the Chorban. Okay? So, Vahane Shit, Have Arbasar, Ishtakafta Bomase Shvi'id Charuv. Because the Bayit was around for 420 years. That's actually, right, eight Yovels plus another two Shemitah cycles, and then the Chorban was right after that on Motse Shvi'id. So that works out perfectly according to Rabbi Yehuda. But then they say, but E Rabbi Yehuda Barishona Lo Mishkachatla. Then the first temple is not going to be destroyed after the Shemitah year. Why? Okay, now, the count we did until then, it was irrelevant, the whole thing that we just said about the Yovlin, because there we were only talking about one cycle, we were trying to get to the Yovel year, so that wouldn't be an issue. But we have another count. D'tanya, okay, I hope you're good at counting, because today is all about counting. Shiva asar yovlot manu Yisrael mishnechnesu la'aretz v'ad shiyatzu. Okay, from the time of Knisa la'aretz until they got out of, right, they left Israel, meaning the Chorban, destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, there were 17 Yovlot. V'iyata yachol lomar misha'ashenich nesumanu, and you can't say that they started counting Yovel from the minute they got into Eretz Israel. Shimata omer kein nimtza bayit charev b'tchilat Yovel, because then the Beit HaMikdash would have been destroyed at the beginning of the Yovel cycle. Now, if the Bayit would have been destroyed in the beginning of the Yovel cycle, then you wouldn't have this 14 years after Asher Hukta Ha'ir. Okay, so we need a few other numbers to understand all this. So the beginning of the when the first Beit HaMikdash was built, it was 480 years after they got out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that says it in Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Now, you get rid of the 40 years in the Midbar, because we want, right, this says when they got to the land. So that's 440 years, okay? Now, the Bayit Rishon stood for 410 years, including the year it was destroyed. One second. So now, if you have 410 plus the 440 that we talked about, right, the Bayit was built. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't so clear. Let's start again. The Beit HaMikdash was built 480 years after Yetziat Mitzrayim, which means the Beit HaMikdash was built 440 years after they got into Eretz Israel. That's what, right? Then, according to this, there were 17 Yovlot from the time they got into the land until they left. 17 Yovlot is 17 times 50, which equals 850. That means that the Beit HaMikdash stood, if it's 850 and it was built 440 years after, then it stood for 410 years. Okay? So now, if you want to go according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if there were 17 Yovlot, right? So now, here, let's explain. Ella. So first of all, they say it can't be that there was 14 years after Rosh HaRuktah year would be a Yovel year if there were 17 Yovelot Mishinachnesu La'aretz until the end. Because then means basically they left in a Yovel year, right, at the end of the Yovel. So then, Elatsemehen Sheva. Now, in order to resolve this, how could it have been 14 years if there were these 7 Yovelot and there were 850 years? Start the count 14 years later. And then you get to Yechezkel, right, that he was 14 years after Asher Uktah year and that was a Yovel year. Take off the first 7 years when they got into the land, they were busy conquering, and the second set of 7 years, they were busy capturing. I'm sorry, they were busy dividing up the land. Okay, this is like a known thing, right? The first 7 years they captured, the second 7 years they divided up the land. Get rid of those in the count. And now, that's perfect. Those 14 counterbalance the other 14, and Ba'atamotze, and then it turns out, Barabas Reshana, Sheroktair, would be a Yovel year. Now, why is this a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because this is all based on Yovlot are 50 years, and that the 50th year doesn't correlate to the first year, right? Those aren't the same. Be Rabbi Yehuda, Aite Shav Sere Mishav Sere Yovle. Take out 17 extra years, right? You know, you're off by 17 years. Shte Ahane, in other words, now put the 17 at the end, What are you going to get? Havale betilta b'shavua. The Chorban is going to happen now. It's going to be off by 3 years. It's going to happen in the third year of the cycle, because 14, right, 17 has a remainder of 3 if you divide it by 7. So what do they answer? Don't worry about those 17 years. We can explain those according to Rabbi Yehuda. Haneshne de'iglinu sancherev ad ate yirmiyahu ahadrine lo kachashiv. Those were the years that Sancherev exiled. Okay, what happened? There was, we said there were two galut. There was the galut of the earlier galut of in the time of Yehoiakim, and then there was the later galut, right? Now, actually, it was the time of Yehoiachin. It was just counted from the time of Yehoiakim. Yehoiachin was the king in Yehuda, and they sent them to galut. But not only that, was all in the kingdom of Yehuda, but there was the kingdom of Israel, which were exiled earlier, right? The Sancherev exiled the Aseret HaShvatim, the Ten Shvatim, until Yirmiyahu came and returned them to their land. So the Galut of Sancherev, kind of, they once, what was the issue? Well, no longer was there, once 10 tribes left Israel, we no longer had a majority. They stopped counting for the Yovel cycle. You can only do Yovel when the majority of the people are there. And therefore, when they returned, a new cycle started, and then the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed 36 years after that, and that ended up being a sabbatical year. So don't be concerned for those 17 years of, according to Rabbi Yehuda's count, because we could say that was the time when the Ten Shvatim, we didn't have a majority of the people in Israel, and therefore those years weren't included in the count. That's one option. Ibai Teima, second option is to say, La'olam Rabbanan, really, it goes according to the rabbis, but we had a problem with the count, because it wouldn't come out right after the Shemitah, Motzei Shvi'it. V'chi Katani, and this is what I said before, V'chei Mashnian, the same thing happened on the second destruction, Ashara. It just wasn't, it's on the rest of the details. It wasn't about that detail. That detail wasn't true. It wasn't true the second time, but all the other details also happened in the second, the same way it happened in the first, just not this one. Hachinami Mistabra, and one can actually prove this by saying, can strengthen this argument. Why? To ilo temahachi, because if you don't say that, mishmar shtosha Yehoyariv bashnia mihavya. One of the other statements it said was about the mishmeret of Yehoyariv. Now the mishmeret of Yehoyariv, we know, wasn't in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, because it says vahatanya. It seems clear that the mishmar of Yehoyariv didn't exist in the Bayit Sheni. Okay, because we're going to now see that some of the mishmarot came back to the Beit HaMikdash, and many of them did not. Remember, what are the mishmarot? Those are the rotations of Kohanim that worked in the Beit HaMikdash. And it says in the Braita, Arba mishmarot alumina gola. There were only 4 of the families of Kohanim that went back in Bayit Sheni in the Second Temple period. Yedaya v'charim pashchor v'imer. Amdu nevi'im shebenehem. Okay, so nevi'im that were around. V'chilkum le'esrim v'arba mishmarot. They took those 4 families and divided them up into 24 mishmarot, like they were in Bayit Rishon. Bilalum v'natnum b'kalpi. Then what they did was they put the names of the 24 watches on a piece of paper, right, mixed them up, and then put them in a kalpi where people, you know, pulled them out. Ba'yidaya v'natal chilko b'chelek haverav shesh. He took 6 portions, right, him and for him and 6 portions for his family. Dichtiv. Bacharim v'natal chelko v'chelek chaverav shesh v'chein pashchur v'chein imir. Hitkinu nevi'im shebenehem. So now, after this happened, the nevi'im came along and said the following: Sha'afil Yehoyariv rosh mishmarot olet. Even if he were to come, lo yidache yedayim imkomo eli yedayi ikar v'Yehoyariv tafelo. So what do you see from here? Right, that even if he's to come, whatever we just did now, this new, where we took these 4 families and we divided them up into 24, that's going to hold. And Yehoyariv is no longer going to come back and have his position as he did before. So what do you see? That Yehoyariv, it couldn't have been in the Mishmar of Yehoyariv when, right, because it said in the first Beit HaMikdash, it was in the Mishmar of Yehoyariv when the Chorban happened. It couldn't possibly be in the second Beit HaMikdash, and therefore we further prove Ela Ashara. Okay, and tomorrow you'll see there's another possible answer to what, how it could possibly work out that the second Korban also happened b'Motzei Shvi'it. So according to the second answer we saw, it actually didn't happen b'Motzei Shvi'it, and not all the details happened exactly as they happened in the Korban Bayit Rishon.